It's time for the Secrets of Staffing Success from Haley Marketing. Candid conversations with entrepreneurs and thought leaders in staffing and recruiting.
How do you guys differentiate yourselves from your competitors? Is ACA a threat or an opportunity for the staffing industry? How can the staffing industry improve the candidate experience? What will be keeping you up at night over the next 2 years?
And here's your host, Todd Lewandowski.
Welcome to another edition of Secrets of Staffing Success. We've got a great show lined up for you today, talking about a specific service for the staffing industry and how that is helping staffing firms maintain contact with their candidates, which in this marketplace is a very important thing right now. Before we get to that, just want to remind you of all the different places you can find this show and subscribe to this show. You can find it on iTunes, on Google Play, on Stitcher, on Spotify. If you have the podcast app on any of your Apple devices, you can just search for us there. And of course, at HaleyMarketing.com, we have all of our past episodes in there. So if you subscribe, you'll make sure that all the most recent episodes get sent directly to your phone. And you can also find us on Twitter at Staffing Podcast, where we'll also have all of our brand new episodes up there, along with a lot of the great information that myself and all of my cohorts here at Haley Marketing are putting out there for the staffing industry. Some really great content that you can use in your staffing and recruiting firm. Our guest this week on Secrets of Staffing Success is the founder and president of Call 'Em All. He is Brad Herman. Brad, thanks so much for joining us this week on Secrets of Staffing Success.
Thrilled to be here.
Well, as we like to do, if you wouldn't mind giving our listeners kind of your 60-second elevator pitch for Call 'Em All. Who are you guys and what are you all about?
You got it. So Call 'Em All is a messaging and communication service. We help organizations of all types, including staffing firms, communicate out important messages to people that need them. And we do that three ways. The first one, naturally with our name Call 'Em All, is with phone calls. And what our clients do is upload a list of phone numbers they need to contact. They record a message. Let's say, hi, this is Acme Staffing. We've got a job on the north side of town. It's $14 an hour. Give us a call if you're interested. And we blast that out. And then on the text side, we do that two different ways. The first one is with mass texting. So similar thing. Give us a list of the phone numbers you need to reach, type the message, and hit go. And then also conversational texting. And a lot of staffing firms don't really distinguish between the two types of texting product. But they're really different, and they come with different needs. But the second one is conversational, and that may be a recruiter reaching out to an individual person, maybe on a more high-tech job or something that is not as volume-based, and communicating back and forth with folks that they're staffing in the field.
And so how did this business all come to be? What's your background? How did you decide to start this company?
Yeah, well, Call 'Em All is 13 years old, but I'm probably pushing 20 years in the staffing industry. It goes back to a company my dad started called TI3. Maybe some old timers out there remember that. It was eventually purchased by Taux. But we did custom internet and things, and we ended up collecting timesheets for a lot of some of the really big players in the staffing industry. And we collected timesheets over the telephone and internet, which back in, let's say, 1997 was a pretty big deal to be able to do that. So we started off with timesheets. We got into, one morning we said, hey, do you want us to call everybody that hasn't turned in a timesheet and remind them to turn in a timesheet? And I believe it was Olson Staffing, now Adecco at the time, said, wait a minute, you can call outbound? No way. Could you help us fill orders? And we're like, what do you mean fill orders? Like, you know what we do, don't you? You know, we've got to call people at the last minute. And that turned into a great application. My dad eventually sold that company to Taux. And we, 4 years into it, I realized, maybe big companies aren't for me. That was actually the wrong conclusion. We can talk about that later on. But, maybe big companies aren't for me. And we decided to take this outbound calling technology and do it for churches and schools and sports teams, soccer moms, anybody that needed to just reach out to a bunch of people. And we didn't go after any of the staffing firms back at our old company. We just let it be. And curiously, there's a lesson here. I think 8 years later, that company decided that they didn't want to be in that outbound calling business, and they sent a lot of the clients over to us. So we fell our way into this, and staffing is our largest industry. We serve 12 of the top 20 staffing firms and thousands of others, but we do also have a big client base in all kinds of other nonprofits, churches, you name it. And then a funny thing happens too. We've got staffing firms that are staffing, say, Amazon, but then Amazon is a client as well. We do a lot with large employers. So sure. Ford and Amazon are clients as well as all their staffing firms.
Well, obviously, given the focus of our show, we want to talk about the staffing and recruiting industry. So I'm glad that it is your biggest demographic, really. So if you can start just kind of what are some of the best practices or even some of the worst practices when it comes to using your product in the staffing and recruiting industry?
Yeah, well, we've got all kinds of funny stories about messages being sent out accidentally.
I bet.
That's just pay attention, folks. But actually, that's some of the best practices are common sense, and sometimes they can be hard to implement. But one of the things that we see sometimes folks do is they get a big order, and they're in a rush to fill it, and they just we need to grab everybody out of the database and send the message to them. And if you think about what you're actually doing, you are sending a message that is going to either ring their phone or increasingly, pop up right on the screen of their phone with a text message, and you're interrupting them. And so let's make sure that it's a quality message and it's worth interrupting. So let's go ahead and take advantage of the powers of your ATS and run better, more detailed queries, right? Let's look at who's available, who is in that part of town, right? Who has the skills that are needed? If it's a forklift operator, let's make sure they've got those skills, et cetera. So that's kind of common sense, but surprisingly, we see a lot of people, especially in the rush of the moment, grab lists that are much larger than they need to be, and they're contacting people that maybe aren't the best, most likely to fill that position. Huh. And then that sort of leads into the second one is, hey, recognize maybe there's several recruiters in your office that are hitting people and up with messages for open positions or whatever it may be. Let's don't overwhelm them or spam them. And that's where it can be a little tricky operationally. How do you keep track of how many times you've reached out to, John Doe or Jane Doe this week and not overwhelm them with messages? There's a lot of other best practices as well. When you send these messages out, especially with text messaging, people are replying. And what we're seeing are some staffing firms and recruiters that are just looking for the, yes, I'm interested in the role. And they're leaving behind some replies that are great opportunities to engage with their candidates. So people would say, well, I can't this week, but what do you have for next week? And we see that go just sit there and not be replied to. Ooh. And it's such a great opportunity to build a relationship with candidates. And we see a whole lot of folks as they start getting into text, not being very diligent about looking at the replies that come in and engaging those people in conversation. Mm.
Yeah, and we see that a lot with our clients, even on social media, too. One of our big areas of expertise is helping our clients manage their social media. And we see a lot of that where messages just go unanswered or people will leave comments underneath a job opportunity. They're really missing out on such a great opportunity, especially in today's marketplace where candidates are so scarce right now. Any opportunity you have to converse and engage with a candidate, you have to take advantage of that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I understand, you've got an order to fill or whatever. Maybe you're in a rush, but we've got to come back and engage with those people because those are the ones that are going to end up going to work for you next week or the week before. They're your pipeline. They're your lifeblood, right?
So, yeah.
A few other things.
Yeah.
I can keep working down best practices.
Sure.
Here. Some of these things are real simple. When you're sending a message out to someone, identify yourself.
Yeah.
Hey,
right.
This is Acme Staffing, right? Yeah. And it sounds funny, but you see a lot of replies. Who is this? Who are you? Mm-hmm. Real simple stuff. And then we can get into a few other things. A lot of times folks realize how well the technology works and how quickly they can communicate with a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And they'll try to go out and purchase a list. And that is a big no-no. So,
sure.
There are legal concerns, with this kind of technology because essentially it's robo-texting and robo-calling. So you need to make sure that you are only messaging people that have given you or your organization their phone number. Mm-hmm. And going out and acquiring them from a third party is not a good idea. Those are unsolicited messages.
Right.
And then along those same lines, we've seen some folks get a little aggressive, and this is sort of your practices in the field, right? We've seen folks get aggressive and going back as far as 10 years in their database to send messages to people. Okay, they might, you know, I don't know what the law is going to say on that, but common sense says, hey, that's probably a little too far back. And if you're going to go, you know, if you're going to go past, you know, maybe 18 months or 2 years back, let's craft a message that's appropriate. Like, hi, this is Acme Staffing. We haven't heard from you in a long time, or I know it's been a long time, but we have some really interesting jobs, you know, available and open. We'd love to talk to you about them. Hey, just reply, you know, if you're interested or something like that, instead of sending them details on a job and they haven't heard from you for 10 years. So you can kind of see sort of a pattern here. Some of these where people get off on the best practice, maybe it's because they've got the big order, or they're under the gun or under the pressure, and they make a decision that doesn't reflect well on the company, or, you know, they kind of ignore the replies or whatever it may be.
Yeah. I'm curious too, you know, if any of your staffing or recruiting clients are using it to communicate with clients as well as candidates.
We don't see a lot of that.
Okay.
We really don't. Now, what we do see is internal, their internal staff. So let's say that there's a snow day and you've got to let the, you know, let the team know if you're just going to try to work from home or come into the office or whatever it may be. We see that. But we're, you know, we've got a policy here at Call 'Em All. We don't want to be involved in any messages that are designed to generate revenue.
Okay.
Because then you start getting into trickier situations there.
Gotcha.
So we generally discourage that. We want to be super conservative and keep our clients out of trouble. And once you start getting in there, wading into those waters, you might step off a ledge.
Sure. Sure. And now that you have so many staffing firms, and a lot of staffing firms are interested in this type of communication or moving to text communications, how is that affecting their operations? Just day to day, how are they, you know, interacting with this in the office? Has it changed up their business model at all?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you think about historically, so I mean, essentially, our company is becoming text-em-all, right?
Sure.
We've got the name Call-em-all, but we're trying to figure out how to get text-em-all in. And text is it's sure you can flip a switch and just start sending out text messages, no problem. But there are a few considerations that people need to be aware of. Number one, if you're asking people to call you, well, yeah, you answer the phone, right? Yeah. Like you've always answered the phone. You've done that for, you know, 50 years. You're answering the phone. Texts, though, are coming into an office. It's a new process, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. So you're going to need to, in your operations, have a process for monitoring and watching those inbound texts. Because what you're probably transferring from is your sharper, you know, your recruiters that get it. If you don't have a text service or a platform like Call 'Em All in your company, they're picking up their personal cell phones and they're texting messages out, right? So there's a lot of risk there. You have no oversight over what they're messaging back and forth. We saw a funny situation happen where a doctor disputed what the rate of pay was, and it was only on his cell phone and the recruiter's cell phone months and months later, and they had no good record or history of it. At the same time, when your recruiter goes on vacation, is out, or they leave your company, all of that history is walking out with their cell phone. So, you know, you've got to think about text messaging like you would all of your other operations. We want to have something we can manage, we can monitor. When people are out, we can have someone else fill in and make sure that they're replying and engaging with candidates. So it's a little bit different than, say, just a phone call where everybody's used to answering the phones. We've got to have a few different processes in there to make sure that we're doing it well.
In have you seen any staffing firms that are going to all text communications, or are they still mixing in personal calls as well?
Oh, certainly. A lot of them are going to all text. But what they're realizing, and you've heard a few funny stories about this, was if they go to all text, we've analyzed these millions of phone numbers we have, and it looks like the average firm has 10 or 15% landlines in their numbers. So if you go to all text, we kind of point out to them, hey, You know, you're leaving behind, you know, candidates are such a valuable commodity here, and you're leaving behind 10 or 15% of them.
Yeah.
So, we encourage them to do what we would call a combination broadcast, where you give us, let's say, 500 numbers. We will recognize which of those are textable, and maybe it's 450 of them. And you type a message for them, but then record a message and send a phone call to those other 50 so you can get them engaged as well.
I handle a lot of our email marketing clients here at Haley, and I'm always keeping tabs on the current spam laws. And you've touched on a few of these already, but I'm wondering what are the regulations or laws that are covering the automated calling texting industry?
Oh, there's the big one. It's called the Telephone Consumer Protection Act, TCPA. And thankfully, the FCC has helped clarify some of the rules on robocalling and robotexting. They've made it very clear that a text and a phone call are considered exactly the same. And they actually used staffing in one of their examples, one of the briefs that they put out, as an example of a good message. So we've got to make sure that we're texting people that gave us their phone number. That's the biggest consideration.
Right.
The second one is you need to be sending messages that are not in any way soliciting revenue from the folks, which in staffing is beautiful, right? You're trying to put them to work.
Right.
It looks really good, you know, when someone engages on that. And I mean, that's really the most important concern there. And the way people get out of it is the biggest one I see staffing firms run into trouble is if they try to purchase lists.
Right,
and
right.
You know, we're all over it. If we see anything like that, and you can see some things where the opt out percentage is higher, you know, and that kind of stuff. So we help monitor, like, hey, what's going on over here? You know, did somebody go rogue and potentially get you in trouble? And
right.
You've got to be really, really careful with this because the fees are massive. Mm-hmm. It is $500 or $1,500 if you're aware of what you're doing per phone call or text message.
Wow.
So if you can picture, you know, a lot of our staffing firms are reaching out to tens of thousands of people a day times $500.
Right.
So yeah, don't break the rules. They're very simple. Let's follow them and everybody should be just fine.
Yeah. It's pretty much the same thing as email marketing too. I think our fines are even a little bit higher, but those are not numbers you want to play around with there. Permission-based is the key in both of these industries.
Todd, let me tell you one more
sure.
thing on that, though. I've seen it, you know, we tell our clients to be careful with this, but I've seen a few of them that are overly conservative, and they're scared to, you know, their legal department is scared to send text messages.
Right.
And it's unsubstantiated. The FCC has put out a few briefs that I'd be happy to share with anybody that has concerns on this, that have been made it really, really clear that a text message and a phone call are the same thing. But, you know, maybe they're thinking of the way it might have been 5 years ago, where text was a little bit newer, a little rougher around the edges. The rules weren't so clear, but the rules are really clear right now. So text away.
Good. Do you have a favorite horror story from somebody who sent the wrong thing? Or maybe favorite's not the best word to use there, but do you have one that you always like to share?
You know, I think the one I touched on earlier was going back 10 years and sending out a message for a random job, and I was looking at some of the replies, and one of the persons was like, I worked for you 10 years ago. Like, come on. Some of this is be aware that, you know, just going back to best practices, be aware this is powerful technology. Yeah. You know, maybe you're using the conversational product and you're reaching out to a handful of people at a time, but others are reaching out to 10, 20, 30,000 people at a time. Let's pay attention to what we're doing, you know, and do you really need to message that many people? You know, sometimes we're discouraging people from spending money with us, right? Like,
right.
Hey, do you need that many? You know, like, you can ease your way into this.
Yeah. But, you know, one of the things I like to talk about on this show, too, is not just staffing, but how to run a business. And I think it doesn't matter what type of business you're running, whether you're running a staffing firm or running a automated calling texting company. There are things that carry over. And I noticed when I was doing research on you in Callamall, I know you're very big on values-driven leadership. Can you kind of explain that philosophy a little more and how it has helped Callamall thrive?
Yeah, if I will, I'll go back a step further and kind of tell you how I got into it
sure.
as well. Like,
sure.
What is it and how I got into
yeah.
it? So I was really fortunate. My dad at his company. I think he got culture. He got healthy culture before it was cool. And we didn't even call it culture. We just called it, man, we like working here.
Yeah.
And then his company was purchased. And I mentioned earlier, I mistakenly thought, I don't do big companies. I'm a small company guy. Mm-hmm. So we started Call 'Em All and walked through. And that's what I thought the case was. We were a great place to work. You had to come in here and meet us and hang out with us to realize that, you know, that, hey, you know, they got something good going on here.
Yeah.
But I got feedback from my team one day, and this is, you know, sometimes you may be leading the company, but your team can help you get better.
Sure.
They gave me feedback. Brad, we love that you like roll up your sleeves and getting into the day to day with us. And that's great. And maybe we've got 10 employees at this time. But we'd like you to focus on vision and, you know, and leading us and where are we going and that kind of stuff. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad you mentioned that, because there's this conference that I wanted to go to. It was just an Inc. magazine, leadership conference, and it was in Las Vegas. So I was like, I didn't want y'all to, I really want to go, but I didn't want you guys to think I was going on some boondoggle or something. And it was great, because they're like, no, that's what we want you to do.
Right.
So now a little background. We're probably 5 years into the company at this point, and I was in what I'll call a funk. You know, business was great, you know, growing really fast, profitable. Everything is great. But on the inside, I'm questioning, you know, my motivation. Like, maybe I just like starting companies more than I like running them. Was the conclusion that I was coming to. But nonetheless, I see this thing in Inc. magazine, and I decided to go to this leadership conference with wonderful timing on the encouragement of my team. So there's a big vote for 360 feedback, right?
Right.
I go, and I'm listening to some of these speakers, and I'm like, man, this is really, really cool stuff. Not every speaker, but you don't have to have every speaker resonate. Like, this is great. And then I wandered into a session afterwards that someone had sent me a postcard for this organization called Small Giants. And my business partner and I, we ended up both going. We walk in, and they're talking about what this organization, Small Giants, is about. It's about caring for your employees. It's about business being more than just profit, right?
Yeah.
Just business. I now call it like business as superhero, business with a purpose.
Yeah.
And caring about, you know, your vendors, your suppliers, your customers, your partners, your employees, and the whole community and what you're building. And I looked at my business partner. He looked at me about 3 minutes into this thing, and we were like, oh my gosh, this is us. And that got me started on what I'll call my leadership journey. And it brought me out of my funk. It gave me a purpose in life and something that I am so passionate about. I'm now in, you know, a passionate member of Small Giants, as well as another organization called Tugboat. They describe it as evergreen companies, right? So we have no intention of selling Call 'Em All. We're still privately held. We do what we want, how we want to do it. We don't answer to anybody but ourselves. And my biggest passion is I want to be the best place that my employees have ever worked. And I measure it by how their families feel, right? Because sometimes you might love your job, but your wife or your husband might hate your job, right?
Right.
No, I want healthy families, healthy employees. And because there's a circle here, and you know, if you take care of your employees and they love what they're doing, they're going to take great care of your employees, and your employees are going to take care of your bottom line, which then you use to feedback to your employees, right? It's a circle there. And I choose to start with my employees, and I think, and the folks that are in this line of thinking and that I'm engaging with all the time, we really believe it's a better way to run a business. You sleep great at night. I've got longer tenured employees. You know, our clients can depend on us, that we're not going away anytime soon. And it also, you know, if you have this, like, we're trying to run a company, a software company that makes phone calls that lasts 100 years.
Yeah.
Well, we're not going to be making phone calls 100 years from now, I don't think.
Right?
Look at text messaging. We're about to change the company name, I think, to Text 'Em All.
Right.
But in the future, there's a lot of things coming that it's going to change. And it forces us to know, hey, we're not working towards a big payday. We're working towards, you know, retirement for these employees and way down the line. And it makes us be ahead of technology and ahead of things, you know, really shifts the whole way that the whole company operates. And I just love it, and I'm passionate about it. And I'll talk for days on it, Todd.
Yeah, no, it definitely shows. And I think that's a really great point, too, because I think one of the issues that the staffing industry is having right now is not just finding candidates for, you know, to place in their jobs, but also internal employees. I think there's a lot of turnover mm-hmm. right now happening in the staffing industry. And I think those points are really great. And I loved what you said about you wanted to be the best place for your employees I've ever worked. I think that's just a really great philosophy to have. The other thing I noticed too when I was on your website was this manifesto, and it really kind of caught my eye. What exactly is the Call 'Em All manifesto, and how did it come to be?
So our manifesto, we kind of call it our North Star. It's our inspirational guiding light.
I like that.
And it came about as I started getting involved with Small Giants and Tugboat. I learned that part of building a great culture is documenting it and talking about it and then hiring to it, coaching to it, and also firing for it, right? If someone's not a fit,
right.
It's our obligation as leaders of the organization to have them leave before, you know, they ruin what you've built. Your culture is fragile.
Yeah.
And, anyways, you've got to have the guts to fire for your culture as well. So, we became aware, hey, we have this cool thing here, but we don't know how to document it. And we had these two wonderful women come in as consultants. They're really helping us with our website. And we said, look, we believe our biggest differentiator is our culture. Mm-hmm. And you can tell that we care, and you can tell that we're passionate when you work with us. But we have no idea how to say that, you know,
yeah.
And we want to learn how to say it and put it on our website. And so they had my business partner and I leave the room. And the employees were in the room, and they started out with a simple question like, what's special about this place? Like, why do you guys like it? You know, I'm assuming you like it, you know, and they're nodding their heads. And they just started kind of taking notes and scribbling it down, and it's on this whiteboard, and you know, we're having a conversation afterwards, and they're like, look, these statements that people said, this is like your heart of your organization. And her name is Sunny. And Sunny was like, this is like, these statements, they're like your manifesto. And we're like, that's it.
There you go.
Let's make a manifesto. You know, let's cultivate this a little bit and yeah. Weed out and get to the ones that people feel most passionately about. And so what's really my favorite thing about our manifesto is that it didn't come from, came from bottom up, right? It came from the employees. And that is one of the best practices when you're defining your culture and your values is you've got to engage your employees in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen it happen. I've heard friends talk about, well, you know, our values and this, but it's not working out right. And I'm like, well, how'd you do it? And they're like, well, the executive team went on a retreat to a resort and we came up with them over 3 days. And I'm like, well, would you be really excited if somebody went to a resort and came back and go, this is what you believe, right? Like,
yeah,
that doesn't work. You
yeah.
know, send some, you know, have teams nominate, you know, folks to represent them at that meeting.
Right.
And now it feels like they had input into it. And so that's how our manifesto came about. And we're super, super passionate about it over here. And funny enough, that's what we lead with in our I heard on one of your podcasts last night, like, how do you write great job, I think, descriptions or job posts. Forgive me if I'm saying it wrong.
Yeah.
But we lead with our manifesto. And, you know, we jam it right out in front of everybody. Hey, we're different. Check this out.
Yeah.
And that turns away some people. And other people say, I saw your manifesto. I didn't even care what the job was. I had to apply. I want to work at your company.
Wow.
And that's how you – I mean, it's work.
Yeah.
But over time, it then just starts taking care of itself. And the people here now are defending our culture. And I mean, my own team will spit people out if we make a mistake. And, you know, people can tell they're not a fit anymore. And we can document and talk about it. So,
wow, that's awesome. Before we let you go, I'm curious, you know, we've already talked about how texting is taking over. But what does the future hold a couple of years down the road for this kind of technology for the staffing and recruiting industry?
Oh yeah. So there's a lot within texting alone. We're not quite there yet. There's like I mentioned, there's three different products. There's calling, but there's conversational texting and there's mass texting. And what we're working towards, there are companies that have been more traditionally more from the conversational side.
Okay.
And there are companies like Call 'Em All that have come at it from the mass side. and you're seeing, we need to combine those services. It doesn't make sense to have two different firms for two different, you know, texting products, or even one for calling and one for texting. And I'll give you a great example on why it doesn't make sense. First off, you're going to have one phone number, right? You're going to have your, maybe your branch phone number, and you can't, technology won't allow you to share that between different services. So we need to see texting come together and messaging really into having a single messaging provider. And then the big, you know, this goes back to the legal thing, right? The big thing is opt-outs. So let's say, you know, you're using Call 'Em All for calling, and you've got someone else that you're using for texting. You've got to share those opt-outs across those two across those two vendors now.
Right.
And if you're sending messages to someone who has opted out, we talked about it, that's a $1,500 per message risk that you're entering into. So we'll see consolidation there. And then the other thing, you know, that we'll talk, let's step further into the future here. We're going to see more machine learning and artificial intelligence. The first one that we here at Call 'Em All did is with regard to opt-outs. So, you know, when you're texting your folks, and someone replies stop, cancel, remove, a few standard words, you're naturally going to opt them out. But what do you do when somebody, and this is where, Todd, we got some really funny replies like, man, quit effing texting me. Okay?
Yep. That is I'm sure you get a lot of those.
We get a lot of those. I mean, yeah. That is what we would call a non-standard opt-out. And what we've done is we've looked at hundreds of thousands of them, and we've kind of – what you do with – machine learning is sort of like artificial intelligence 101. Like it's pretty basic. You feed in all of this data, and you teach the machine what an opt-out is. Like, oh, that's an opt-out. Whereas let me – if I can swear again.
Sure.
If you say, hey, are you going to be at work tomorrow, and someone writes, F yeah – right? Okay, that's not an opt-out.
Right,
but
right.
F you, quit texting me, is an opt-out. And the machine eventually learns that, and it's really cool because now it's automatically opting people out. So if you can extend that forward, think about the machine or, you know, the computer watching all the replies that come in and watching what your recruiters send back. So what we can get into is these predicted responses. And the way, if you can envision this, like, let's say you've got a recruiter, they're looking at their screen, and somebody replied, what time is my shift today? It will recognize, I think you're about to say, your shift is at, you know, 3 p.m., and here's the address. And you can look at it and go, yep, that's exactly what I want to send, and you hit go ahead and send it, or you could edit it before you send it. But that's what I envision for the future of how we're going to help make recruiters more efficient and easier and save some of the copy and paste and stuff out, you know. It'll pick up and say, hey, I'm 87% sure that this is what you're about, what this is what you want to reply. So really cool stuff there. And then with texting, it's kind of, I got several things on the future here, Todd, so forgive me for going long. But with texting, there's, if you think about the texting services out there for the staffing industry right now, how basic they are. I mean, it's ridiculous that it's 160 characters, right? I mean, like, I can send you on my phone personally a cat video and write half a novel to you, no problem, especially if you're Apple to Apple, right? Or if you're Android to Android. So it's so basic. Everybody's in the staffing industry so excited about texting, but really it's pathetic, you know, the product that's out there. And that's because of the technology limitations of the infrastructure. But there's hope. And what's happening is there are two camps here that are vying for the future of business messaging. The first one is it's really Facebook, right, with their Messenger product and their WhatsApp, right? So many countries, WhatsApp is 99.9% adoption, and you can send all kinds of really cool things there. But the hang-up with those are that you have to install the app first, right?
Right.
And in the United States, they've been able to hold off Facebook and WhatsApp better than in other countries, and so that's not there yet. But Facebook definitely wants a piece of business messaging because there's a cost to every single message that goes out. It's a huge revenue opportunity for them. So we're keeping a really close eye on those and to see if they open it up for the types of messages and the way that staffing firms work. Now, competing with that is what's called RCS, Rich Communication Services. It's backed by Google, AT&T. I think there's over 200 carriers around the world. This is cell phone carriers that are on board with RCS. And the big question, the wild card here in the United States is Apple. What is Apple going to do? Are they going to embrace RCS, or are they going to force people to stay on their iMessage product? So RCS basically is everything that we're doing in WhatsApp and you're doing on your phone natively right now, which is sending videos and maybe you want to send a map to the location of where your associates need to report. And then RCS has some really cool things. Instead of sending a message from a phone number, it will be completely branded. So we'll have instead of a phone number, they're just going to see Acme Staffing. Wow. And maybe your colors are blue and white. It'll be in your blue and white colors. So it's really beautiful. It's like a web page in a message. And wow. Call 'em all, we're super excited about that. We hope it takes off. We're on an early program with Google where we're really paying close attention to this, but the phones have to be upgraded. And again, Apple's the wild card, but here's another thing you could do with RCS just to get, we're talking about the future here. So let's say, right now you send out a text message that says, are you going to be available to work? Are you reporting to work tomorrow, for the 8 a.m. shift? Let us know. And people will reply, yes. They'll reply capital Y. They'll reply, you betcha. Hell yeah. You get all these random messages in, and your recruiter has to now go look at them and read them to figure out how many people are showing up and who's out. But in RCS, you'll actually be able to send a button in the message that says yes, no, or hey, can I talk to you? Right? Wow. You can put three buttons in there. And now those buttons in the message, so they don't have to pull up a web page. They don't have to click a link. In the message, they just hit the button, and instantly you'll have a report. Your recruiter will have a report on their desktop with everybody that said yes, no, or I've got a question. Can you call me or something like
that?
Wow. So really cool stuff in the future of messaging, which is what we're super excited about here at Call 'em All.
Sure.
For all the things we're going to be able to offer, not just now helping people get into text, but what the future of messaging involves. So really, really neat stuff coming.
I just love the idea that AI is sitting there trying to evaluate different uses of the F word. That's pretty cool. I like that.
it's a word with many meanings.
Absolutely. He is Brad Herman. He's the founder and president of Call 'em All. You can check out more about the company at callemall.com, but it is callemall.com. So make sure you put those dashes in there. And you can also check them out on Twitter at Call 'em All. Brad, thank you so much for your time today. And thanks for sharing some of the secrets that you're seeing that are helping staffing firms be successful.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
My big thanks to Brad Herman, founder and president of Call 'em All. Again, you can check him out, callemall.com. Just make sure you put a hyphen in there, call-em-all.com. And you can also find him on Twitter at Call 'em All, just one word. Two takeaways I had from the conversation with Brad. One was when we were talking about missed opportunities, and I think we see this a lot in the staffing industry with candidates. You have so many different ways that candidates can interact with you now, not only just on the phone via email, but also on social media, like with Brad's product over text messaging. So I think it's important to always make sure that you are responding and engaging with candidates, even if they're saying some, not so flattering things about you. You always want to address those so that people don't think that, you're just ignoring people on Facebook unless they have something nice to say about you. So always take an opportunity, even just if it's just a thanks, if they leave you a nice note on a social media post or something like that, just say thanks. Just say thanks. Hey, if you're interested in some new opportunities, make sure you give us a call. Never miss out on an opportunity to interact with candidates, especially in this marketplace now where candidates are so scarce. And the second part was being a best place to work. And I loved that quote that Brad said that he wants to be the best place his employees have ever worked. And he measures it by how their families feel about that. And I want you to think about that, not just with your candidates, but with your internal staff. What are you doing to make sure that your staffing firm is a great place to work? Do people dread coming to work every day, or are they really looking forward to it? Is it a fun experience? And it doesn't have to be, toys in the office and, happy hours every day. There's a lot of little things that you can do to make sure that your candidates feel or your employees feel appreciated and make them want to come to work every day. And look at every aspect of your job. You know, are your meetings too long? Are people spending 2 hours every week in just an informational meeting? Can you cut that down at all? What other types of gratitude can you have to your employees? You know, just simple handwritten thank you notes. Sometimes you don't have to spend a lot of money. You don't have to go overboard, but just little things that make your place a great place to work, not just for your candidates, but also for your internal staff. That'll do it for us on this episode of Secrets of Staffing Success. Of course, you can always find us on iTunes, on Google Play, on Stitcher, Spotify, if you have the podcast app on your Apple devices, and on HaleyMarketing.com. And also make sure that you follow us on Twitter at Staffing Podcast. We'll always put all of our brand new episodes up there so that you can be up to date on all of the good information that we have available here on Secrets of Staffing Success. That'll do it for us this week. We will talk to you next time on Secrets of Staffing Success.